Thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. When I was alone, you took me in your sweet family. Gave me new hope that I could live eternally. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart, and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snares, trials seem so hard to bear. It's then that I reach for a hand I know is always there. And finding he still cares, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart, and with all my soul, thank you. Calvary, treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snares, trials seem so hard to bear. It's then that I reach for the hand I know is always there. And finding he still cares, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart, and with all my soul, thank you. Treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art smiling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, will thy face, heal my wounded and broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my but thee. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Home have I on earth beside thee, home in heaven but thee. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Savior I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes on singing. Until then, rejoice, carry on. Until the day my eyes beyond the city. Until the day God calls me home. Where he is, I'm crying, saying loud and public, the hearts of Gessel begin stone. Don't blick nor am aimed and their father geschick, their eyes are fearty right for moon. Cease in the sea, there is in them cry, saying loud and ugly, their hearts of gazelle begin stone. Oh, hat nicht ein jenen getragen die Schuld, gebürdet am Kreuz auch für dich. Oh, floss nicht sein Blut voller Barmen der Huld, zur Befesung für dich und für mich. Sieh in der See, der Jesus am Kreuz, saying loud and oblique, wenn Heil zu der selbigen Strom. Dein Weinen und deine Gebet sind es nicht, wo dort du mich Gott wirst versehen. Das Blut deines Heilens befreit vom Gericht, der einst dir mit Gnade dich kränkt. Sieh in der See, where Jesus am Kreuz, saying glauben erblick, der Heil
zu der selbige Stund. O zwei,
ich will nicht länger, o glaubest gewiss, du hast nun sonst nichts mehr zu tun. Dein Jesus, der trat nach für dich in den Ritz, in ihm kannst du seliglich ruhen. Sieh in der See, wer Jesus am Kreuz sehen glauben erblick, wer heilt zu der selbige Stund. Well, we're just doing our job. We don't have to do what we're doing. The Lord just recommended it to us.
It's a good journey. It's a, it's a job, but we weren't forced into it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We weren't. He didn't twist our arms. He gave us a free choice. And then he recommended it. There's such a thing as we ask the Lord to help us. We want this word. We want this job. Or we love this journey. Because it's what the Lord wants for us to do. And once I found out that's what he wants to do, that's, I was glad to do it, you know. There's a lot of trials and tribulations along the way. And right to this day, we're just like Paul says back in Hebrews, they treat us like the all that stuff that Paul talks about. We're forsaken and everything, but then in all, it's a good trip, a good journey. That's mm-hmm. something that the Lord requires of us, and we're glad to suffer for His sake and for the sake of the truth. It's just part of the program. It's not like you have to do this, you know. It's not like we have to get up in the morning and do what we're doing. He just recommended it to me one day, and then I told you about it, and it's like you were saying, what took you so long, you know? And that's how we operate. We done. It's not a you have to think, you know what I'm saying? We just do it because it's a good thing to do. A good life living for the Lord. It's just that simple. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
He is trembling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword.
His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Hebrews 10:30. For we know the one who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's what I want to say. It's a horrible thing. It's a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." That's basically a text that I want to talk about today. We've talked about it some time back, but there's things came up, you know, that people think they can just go down the road alive and do whatever they want, and then there's no accountability. But it says here, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." Schrecklich ist in die Hände des lebendigen Gottes zu fallen. And the reason I'm on this subject, I take a look at my life, and over the years, my only defense is the Lord. And I know when that Hutterite nation terminated me, and I had nowhere to go, you know. I could go to the courts, because Paul recommends us not to. You can't go to the courts, it's all you probably go to the Lord. And over the years, it taught me to go to the Lord. He said, "Vengeance is mine." Back in the day, I didn't know what I know today. I didn't know that these thugs in the pulpit are out there, are agents of Satan. I didn't know my father-in-law was an agent of Satan. But the proof is in the pudding. He's the one, when I told him about this truth and what's going on, he did whatever that system told him to do, you know. So it taught me to rely on the Lord. You can't go to these people that are enemies of God. They're not of God. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. And so that has taught me over the years to give it to the Lord. And my dad, he sure is not going to support me, because he's going to lose his position. He was a preacher in that system. And if he supports me, he's going to lose his position. So it has taught me over the years, just vengeance is mine, I will repay. And then I've seen it. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God who said, "Vengeance is mine, I'll repay." So over the years, I just give it to the Lord. Lord, if that's the way they want to be, then good. Then let them do it. Like I told you before, that couple that accused me of attempting to rape his girlfriend, and then, what do I do? It's two against one, and they're sure not going to pick my side. So what do I do? I just had to, Lord, you take care of it. You know I'm innocent, and all that, and the Lord It's the only defense I had, and everybody, just because I didn't put up a fight, they thought I was guilty, you know? Well, I'm not going to go fight around with them. I'm beat before I even start. And that's the way it was. That's the way I've gone through life. Lord, you seen it, you heard it, and now you deal with it. Just like my son-in-law, that guy from Europe, was driving through Atlanta down here, phones me up, and he accuses you of being a prostitute, of me checking up with the town prostitute, and oh man, he went on ranting and raving just simply because we sent the book to these preachers. And oh yikes, he was just a givener. And well, I couldn't even get in sideways, and then he hung up the phone, and oh man, just driving to Atlanta, and I said, Lord, you heard this conversation, Lord, you know how to deal with people like that, Lord. You just deal with it. I'm not going to even touch it. I'm not going to go and debate around with him or try to explain something, because he's just on a rampage. And Lord, you deal with him. So maybe the Lord started doing exactly that right instantly. Right there, then, and he brought that guy under exactly what it says here. He one day shows up here. He wanted to apologize, and he did a pretty good of apologizing. He said he's sorry for what he did, but see what he was. For about a year, he was under that exactly what it says here. It's a terrible thing to fall under the hands of a living God who said, vengeance is of mine, I will repay. He gave that kid an opportunity. You ought to clean up this mess, or you're going to suffer the consequences. And that, and he could tell it. He could feel it, too. God, he wanted to get rid of this thing. And here, the reason I'm on this subject now, here, some time back, I thought I'd send my grandkids that live in the colony. I think I got about 10 grandkids that live in the colony. And I never see it because we're not allowed to go in there and see it. And listen, they don't want us in there. And then, so I thought I'll send them some money. So I send them $100 each, and they can do whatever they buy them a bike or whatever they want. So I send it to my daughter, and to my the ones that are in the colony. And here the other day we look in the mailbox, and here that idiot, that the guy from Berwickman, my son-in-law, I can't even call him my son-in-law, I call him my daughter's husband. He sent the book back, and he sent the money back, and tore up the book, and then he sent a letter. Oh man, he was ranting and raving. Well, man, I was shook up for a while, because I didn't expect that. And I kind of had a little respect for him. And anyway, so what do you do? You know, where do you go with something like that? Well, you just give it to the Lord. He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And that's the scripture the Lord gave me. And don't worry about it. Don't take things into your own hand. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. And then he gave me that scripture. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God who said, vengeance is mine. So now he's under God's judgment. He's gonna have to suffer the consequences, because when I sent him that, I had good intentions. I didn't have no selfish motive or anything. I just came out and onto me one day, I should maybe try to do a good deed. You know what I'm saying? It kind of backfires, and he was ranting and raving and sent us a note not to bother with that. Oh, yikes. And then, well, what do you do with stuff like that? You just give it to the Lord. That's what I've been doing all my life. I just tell Lord, you deal with it, just like I did when my father-in-law came into my house. I said, Lord, you deal with him the way I'm not going to go and debate and argue around with these people, because there's no point in it.
Yeah,
so
you just give it
to the Lord.
How can you really argument with people that are not born again, do not understand the ways of God? You know, you can't really reason with these people, because they're really ignorant.
Amen to that. So we just trying to bring it out today. what these people do. They think they're going to get away with it, but see, vengeance is mine. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I've seen it in my lifetime. Lord, I can't argue with these people. I can't debate them. You deal with them as you see fit. So he gives them opportunity. And God, he's rich. He gives people an opportunity to own up. And then if they don't, they're going to just go out to destruction. It's just that simple. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay it. I've done that over the years. These people that mistreated me, I just, Lord, you deal with them the way you see fit. And if you can't bring them to repentance, then you deal with them. And I tell you what, once God starts dealing with people and they reject them, then I see the hand of God on them. And I tell you what, when God takes over, you'll have to say, Lord, does it have to be that bad? And you kind of feel sorry what God has to drag him through. But see, that's what my life has been like. Lord, you deal with them. You know we're innocent. Lord, you know you put us on this journey. You've got us together, Lord. You deal with these, like these brute beasts. It's exactly what Jude says over, and they see us together, their mind goes into a frenzy, and they're like these brute beasts back in, you can read it back in Jude, like accusing us of something that we're completely innocent of, something that the Lord does, you know, that's what they do. They're like brute beasts, but God does something, they try to reason it out with their natural senses, and they can't, because the natural man cannot perceive the things of the Spirit. And then they do things that they ought not to do. And then there's only one thing you can do. Lord, you take care of the situation. I'm not going to go and debate around with them. But that's the subject we're on today. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just read your word here, Lord. I just pray you'll help us to expound on it and bring this out in today's language, Lord. And to just continue on this journey that you put us on. We did choose this life, Lord. You just saw something in us, Lord. One day you call on us to go up and speak again, speak for you, Lord, and that's what we did. And then you moved us on to higher heights and deeper depths, and that's the journey we're on now, Lord. It's all you're doing, all we're doing. We're trying to be faithful and just against all the odds, Lord. We just want to be faithful and true for what you have called us to do and what for us to be, Lord. Just pray to give that increase in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I just want to say, it's hard to fathom, but there's no eternal life, and then how do I call it? It's just that simple. There is no life eternal, because Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they believe on them whom I will send. And he sent the seven angels, and then these seven angels, they're the seven angels to the church ages throughout the great age. And therein, and only therein, is eternal life. Now, there's some scripture there where we can back it up that some people will be in heaven, but there'll be, there's clauses in the scripture what will keep them out of hell. And we're just doing our job. This is something that the Lord is calling us to do. And then he gave me that scripture, this is going to be eternal life, that they believe on them whom I will send. And he did not send that Jacob Luther. He sent, back in the 1520s, he sent Martin Luther. And all people had to do was listen to what he had to say, the just shall live by the only therein is eternal life. Now, of course, Satan is out on the loose, and he's going to try to copy it and twist it around. That's exactly what these zealots, these Peter Riedemann, and these Tuck, they came in to pervert the picture. But see, it still stays to say, this is going to be eternal life, that they believe on these church-age messages throughout the great age. Anything outside of that, Satan will come in, and he'll pervert it, and he'll make a way, way better job than Martin Luther ever taught the door. That's how Satan had done. He went up, but he could go right back at the garden, like we were saying the other day. He took, and what God had told Adam and Eve, And he went in there and he twisted the scripture. He was using that serpent-like creature to speak to them and twist the scripture that he said, did God really say? And that's how he does it to this very day. What he does, he takes a little bit of scripture and he perverts it just like he did with that Hutterite thing, with that community of goods, with that Gemeinschaft. He takes it and he twists it, and then before you know it, all you got is socialism. All that Hutterite thing is socialism and communism and the first degrees. Communism on steroids. That's all it is. There is no eternal life in that Hutterite system, and the people that are in there, there's no eternal life in it. Now, like I say, there are certain individuals that have committed their ways to the Lord, but if they put their trust in that Hutterite thing, thinking that diabolical baptism is going to take them to glory, there's no life in there. It's all of the devil. It's all of Satan. We just happened to find it out. I didn't know what I know today back 30 years ago, 40 years ago. The Lord just walked me through that because he told me one day to go up and expose that thing. And then he gave me the information. Expose what? Expose the spirit that driving that thing. And then time went on, he began to open up some more scriptures to it. That's why I can say for sure that thing is not of God. It's no eternal life in it. And then we keep repeating it. That man from Forest River Colony, that Joe Mandel, he had an out-of-the-body experience, and he came back to warn us. And that's what we're building our thing on, because God gives us the job to do, but then he fills in the necessary thing that we need for daily living. Like I say, my daughter's husband, he got all worked up because we sent him some money, and then I sent him a book. I don't know what. I think the book was something about my wife. She's dead now, but they get real worked up when I tell them the truth about my wife. My wife was simply a narcissist. My wife was simply, she was not supporting me in any which way. For the minute I told her about guns and the problem, she worked overtime to try to destroy it. And every experience I had with the Lord, she worked dead feverishly against it. So she was my number one opposition. But the Lord set it up that way just to test me, to see if I'm going to be strong enough for the fight that's up the road. That's all that opposition does. It takes you, it makes you strong for the next journey, for the next leg of the journey. And that's what I needed to do. That's what her job was, to see if she can shut me down and take me, drag me back into that cult. That was her number one priority. That was her job. And she did a good job at me. Right to the day she died, she thought, I'm going to go back to the compound. Well, the Lord put me on this journey. He allowed me to see what that compound is. Now imagine me going back there and having to put up with all their garbage, knowing what I know. Well, that was her job. That's exactly what the opposition, God gives the opposition. And that's what she did, and she did it. She did a good job at it, but I had to stand strong. She just couldn't pull it off. Just like you said, that song, we've been through the fire, but the fire won't burn us. We've been through the water, but we didn't drown. We've been through the lion's den, the lions couldn't touch us. That's where you and I are at. We've gone through these trials and tribulations. All God is doing, he's preparing us for the next leg of the journey. That's all that her job was, to see if she can drag me back into that cult. That's all it is. It's not of God. No matter how people say it or think, they're just not of God. And that letter that we got from that idiot, it was just another move of the devil. Because the opposing forces, that's all it is. And we got to put up with that. But see, they're not going to pull it off because we've established ourselves too deep. And we've been in this fight too long to be moved by what these anti-God people do. It's just that simple.
That's right. You were just being obedient to that heavenly voice, what God wanted you to do, and that what started your whole journey on. God asking you to go up and expose that unfruitful works of darkness that was starting to happen in the Hutterite colony, and you stood up and you exposed it, and the devil whenever you start exposing the devil, he doesn't like that, and he'll use whoever he can to try to destroy you. And in your case, he just used your wife. And she had a choice to make. She had a decision to make if she's going to stand with you or stand with these corrupt or stand with corruption. That was her choice that she made. And those are the decisions that people make. And you can't, God can't force anybody's hand. But you had to be obedient to what God had required for you to do. And that's all you had done all your life, is wanting to be obedient to God. And, you know, there, and in doing that, when you stand up and start exposing the unfruitful works of darkness and the things of the devil, then you are going to create a lot of enemies, because that's just the way it goes. But on the other side, like it says in Psalms, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. See, we cannot take vengeance on anybody. That's not our role in life, because God said vengeance is His. But God is going to see that you're going to see the reward of the wicked. If people want to side with wickedness, then the reward for those people, that's what, it's not going to be good. Because you can see it throughout the Bible, what happens to people that sided with evil. Just like when you will read in the New Testament about Paul, when he started to, like he was persecuting the Church of Christ, and then he became a Christian. The Lord Jesus, he was converted. And then he started to make many enemies with the Jewish people. He made a lot of enemies. They're all around. And at one point it says here, there was one guy whose name was Alexander the Coppersmith. He did Paul much evil, but he didn't take vengeance in his own hand. He said, the Lord reward him according to his works. Mm-hmm. So he didn't take vengeance on his own hand, but he just gave it over to God, to the righteous judge. And at the end of the day, these people will have their reward, and it will be according to their works, what they have done. I do not know what kind of a mindset or a mentality that would make a person would have to have in order to take a book and cut it up in a million pieces and put it back in the envelope and put it in our mailbox. I do not understand that kind of a mentality. That would have to be a very low IQ mentality for me to comprehend that. I just don't understand how anybody could do that. But you know what? If people don't understand the ways of God, then that's what they what people do. That's the only thing that they know how to do, is to do things like that.
Yeah, it's just weird. Like, I was shocked, you know. That, see, you and I, we're not of that category. Our mind cannot imagine anybody doing that. I couldn't even force myself to do something like that. I would take it to the Lord, and I would, Lord, what is this all about? But to cut it up in a million pieces, and then he sent a letter. I didn't read. I let you read it, and it's nothing but derogatory stuff. Something like ungodly, unchristian, unregenerated human being would do, you know. A person that has any conscience, that has any moral, and has any principle, could never do something like that. Mm-hmm. It just goes to show what kind of a person he is. And I was actually shocked. I kind of thought he's got something, but he's way in the negative. And then the Lord gave me that scripture. When I saw it, and you brought it in here from the mailbox, you know, you right away you want to find the mind of the Lord. And what Lord, what's this all about? What And then what the Lord did, the scripture of the Lord, he said, Sam, don't you worry about it. Don't you get involved. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. I'm going to, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hand of a living God. And that's the scripture he gave me, and hands off. You could do whatever you want. You could send all kinds of derogatory stuff. And then he gave me that other scripture. He said, your house will be left unto you desolate. His whole life is pretty much done and over with because he's chosen to go against the word of God, going against truth. Believe you me when I'm telling you, without this here truth, you're going to go out into outer dark. There is no future for you. And he, right with that thing, with that action that he took, he's completely alienated himself from anything godly because, like I say, this is eternal life that they believe of them. And I will say, all that you and I are doing, we're just presenting the people with something for our generation, for the church age of legacy, the truth of William Branham, that church age messenger, and their brother Jackson, that chief apostle, even in his closing days. And if you reject that, there's only one thing for you to go, and that's out to outer darkness. And now, like I keep saying over and over, without that, you're lost. There's no hope for you. And then that's why the Lord gave me that scripture, because I've been beating the drums here for 40 years, trying to direct people, trying to at least take a look at this thing, see if this is not true. They don't even as much as take a look at it. They don't even read it. They're just like these brute beasts over in Jude. You can go read it. They're just like animals. They just think naturally. And thereby they defile themselves with it. That guy defiled himself with his reasoning. They think this is a Shekinah program. He accused us of moving in with this young girl and all that filth that they think. And in mind, because that's the only way they can think. They're not of God, and so they think like natural brute beasts. You can find it over in the scripture, over in Jude. And see, you and I, we've taught our life, we've tried our level best to maintain ourselves and to saturate ourselves with the scripture. And we can't drag ourselves, we can't even force ourselves into how these people think. Even like that Jeremy or that Randy, how these people think is beyond our comprehension, how people can stoop so low and they think they're going to heaven. And that the only thing we... I just, out of the goodness of my heart, decided I'll send my grandkids $100 each or something. I don't know. But I had good intention, and here it all backfired on us. But see, that's what the Lord gave me. Vengeance is mine. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And then he gave me that scripture, your house will be left desolate. I think he got three boys, but it did. They're going to be left desolate. But the Bible says, your house will be left desolate. There is no future for them. It's just that simple. Your house will be left desolate. Because when you reject this here truth, that's all you got is desolation. I know what I'm talking about. I know the price that you and I had to pay to get us to where we are today. And I know what's out there. Out there is darkness. Out there is, and just like America, when they rejected the prophet. Well, when we came face to face with the knowledge and the understanding that God sent the prophet, but we embrace it with the passion. And then by doing that, we have the assurance by the scriptures that we will have eternal life. Because therein is eternal life. Because we believe that message. We believe that angel that spoke to the vocal cords of Brother Branham and then Brother Jackson, and the Lord moved on us to do this here movement, to do this website, and that's all we're doing. And when people can accept it, then they can reject it. It's not up to us, you know. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. So we just give it to the Lord. Lord, you deal with these people the way you see fit. And if you can't repent them, they're just going to enter outer darkness. Because I know without this here truth, there is only one place for you to go, that out into outer darkness. And that's all we're doing. We're just exposing it. That's the reason I'm on this subject here today, because you went to the mailbox and there you found the book. That idiot, he cut that book in a million pieces. Like saying, that's how you treat it. That's how you treated your wife, you know. That's how you treated my sweet, wonderful mother-in-law. But see, he just thinks naturally. My wife was a narcissist, and she was meant to do exactly what she do, and she did a good job at it. It's just that simple. Just one day, the Lord told me it was 35 below zero. I was debating back and forth with her all the time. The Lord told me, Sam, you get out or you will be destroyed. Because you don't have, you're not, you can't fight these spirits. You're not, we're not meant to fight around with it. Just leave it alone. I got scriptures to back everything up what I'm saying. Just leave it alone. I'll deal with her and you just go about. You just go continue to serve me. And I got up, 39 below zero. I drove for 3 hours down to Grunthal because I knew a person there where I could go down there and stay overnight there. And that's exactly what happened. And it's no use fighting around with people that are not born again. It's just the situation. And what it is, God set this whole thing up to make me strong for the journey, for the next leg of the journey. It's just that simple. That's the best way I can put it. And yeah, I get all these texts from my family, just like Jeremiah. They kicked Jeremiah out. They didn't want to have nothing to do with Jeremiah. His wife didn't have nothing to do. His family didn't have nothing to do. But Jeremiah had a job to do, and he didn't even look back. And he just went straight ahead and did his job, and that's what you and I are doing. I was just fortunate that the Lord brought you on board because he knew I wasn't going to do it. I couldn't do it by myself. So he brought you on board to help us both do the same thing, fight the faith, and that's what we're doing, to expose the unfruitful works of our because you went to the Lord. So Lord, why did you put us together? Ever since you put us together, we've been nothing but kicked from pillar to post, persecuted, terrorized, and the Lord just simply told us to preserve this truth. That's all we're doing. We're preserving this truth, and on the way to preserve this truth, we're going to get buffeted from every angle. You can go read it, what Paul talks about over in Hebrews. Buffeted from every angle, from inside and outside. But see, that doesn't bother us. I was shook up a bit when you brought that book in here, but see, and the Lord, he's always there for it. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. That thing will work for our benefit. All we got to do is put our trust in him. Don't take vengeance into your own hand, and don't get into a debate and fight back and forth. Just simply, Lord, you deal with that situation, and vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an almighty righteous God who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And then later on he gave me that scripture, his house will be left desolate unto him. That's the future. Because we know the hour we're living in. That's why we're doing what we're doing. We're just doing our job. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are experiencing trouble on every side, but are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are knocked down, but not destroyed. Always carrying around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our body. So all these things, these will come upon when you stand up and expose Satan, the enemy, and walk with Jesus. You're going to be faced with all these things. But Paul said, we are perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but never abandoned, because Jesus is always with us. You know, when you are obedient to what God has for you, and you just do that, you're going to be faced with all that opposition. But we are given comfort that we will not find despair, because we find comfort in knowing what we are doing is we are just being obedient to what God has for us. And we are obedient to that heavenly vision, just like Paul back in his hour. He stood up and exposed these things, and he developed many enemies. And that's just the way the carnal man works. If a person is not born again, he's just a natural carnal man, and that's how he thinks. And you have to understand that. That's the carnal man, and that's how he reacts. He has no spiritual inclination whatsoever, and that's what the natural man will do, because they cannot perceive the things of God.
Amen to that. Like I told my father-in-law, everything you do to me is going to work for our benefit, no matter what you say or do. And then, he had developed cancer, and he died, and he, God knows what about the hereafter. But see, we did not stop us. We got lots of enemies, but we're just going about the Lord's business from day to day. We're just doing what the Lord tells us to do, and we're enjoying it. And what people do to us, that's really immaterial, because all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. That thing that he sent out here and draw it up the book, cut it into a million feet, he's going to suffer the consequences, not us, because all things work together for good. No matter how, what they throw at you, it works for our benefit, and that'll work for our benefit too. And then in the meantime, he's going to come under the judgment seat of Christ. It's a terrible thing to fall under the hands of an almighty God who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And like I said, if you reject this truth, there's only one place for you to go, into outer darkness. And then the Lord gave me that scripture, die, your house will be left to you desolate. That's no future whatsoever. When you reject what we're doing here, there is no future for you. Just that simple.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we just pray that you'll take these words, Lord. And we know we have many enemies on our side, because we're standing up for what is right, Lord. But we just want to commit these things into your hand, Lord. And you will do it as you see fit, Lord, because we know vengeance does not belong to us, Lord, but it belongs to you, Lord. So we commit these things into your very capable hands, Lord. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.